Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Live at Titans training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, it is Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin in the house today as the Titans battle the Buccaneers right now. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday. JoJo, how we doing?
We're doing well. Nice crowd out here. It's fun. It's exciting. First play of the 7-on-7, Treylon Burks, man, down the field.
A bomb.
Straight down the field, over-the-shoulder catch. One of the prettiest catches I've ever seen at St. Thomas Sports Park. Amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, just a dart and beat the defender, got around the defender and went to the house. And then just now, Tannehill had another bomb to Racy McMath, who I think I said this the other day, but I'm going to say it again. He is a lock. He is making this team.
Right.
I'll do something if he doesn't, but he's making this team.
I watch him off the ball. I mean, he beat the guy off the ball by like 2 yards. He was within 10 yards. The DB was already 2 yards behind him.
Yeah.
So at 20 yards, he was like 4 yards behind him, just straight down the field and caught the ball, and there it was, touchdown. I mean, so far the Titans receiver's looking good. Problem is, in the 1-on-1, the referee was throwing the flag every time because the Buccaneer DBs, which are closer to us, they were grabbing, holding, and their flags all over the place. So this is a little bit more controlled with the 7-on-7.
Well, and this is big, too, to have the officials out here because, one, it gives them, you know, a little practice, and, two, it helps both teams.
Oops.
As Logan Woodside just throws a pick.
But his receiver fell down.
Yeah.
This is
kind of an interesting note that John Glennon puts out there. Malik Willis is getting team snaps before Logan Woodside. Right now, Vrabel basically acknowledged the other day that there is a battle for QB2.
Yeah, there is also our on-site producer here who is just fantastic, told us Petit Frere started with the ones at right tackle.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but we just did.
Okay. Well, excuse me then.
But, oh well. that battle is definitely heating up. There are a lot of battles that are heating up. And, you know, as we said all week, this is really where you start to learn about your football team going up against another team in practice. Because I think you take more away from practice than you do a preseason game. And, Tannehill's had a couple of passes batted down by Bucks defensive linemen, which is, you know, something to watch for sure. But
yeah, I agree. I mean, there's activity. You know, the other day at practice out here, you know, we had the individual groups, and it was your typical practice. But I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least from what I see, different stations are going on between Buccaneers and Titans players right now, which is really cool. And they've taken a break, but so far, I mean, they hit the ground run. I mean, when they came together, they had a meeting before practice started, the Buccaneers and the Titans, and you know what was said then. Let's keep it clean. Don't fight. We're here to get better, blah, blah, blah. I've heard that, seen that before.
Sure.
They have all-out brawls. But then they started immediately getting into it. So on our side right now, we've seen the offense. We're not seeing the Titans defense, which is on the far side.
Yeah, and honestly, I would really like to see the defense because with Brady out, with Evans out, Godwin out, they don't really have a lot of their horses offensively, do Tampa Bay. So I think this should be a good 2 days for the Titans defense as long as they don't get complacent.
Absolutely. And, again, we've talked about how good it is to go against another team, to see tendencies you haven't seen from, you know. I mean, these Titans DBs are tired of going against the Titans wide receivers and back and forth. So now you see other guys and how they're going to react and how they play and how they come off the ball. So this is good. And as we've talked about, you'll see more and more of this going forward with the NFL, these joint practices, because you get so much more work in here than you do. I mean, that preseason game on Saturday night is going to be just another what we saw last Thursday. I mean, it's going to be the same. Nothing really defined or set apart, but these practices here, man, they do.
A couple things that I didn't realize with the Bucs. Logan Ryan, a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
right,
former Titan, obviously had 3 really good years here. Before leaving, going to the Giants. And
you know how I feel about him. I hope he gets smoked today.
I know. You're not a big fan.
Not at all. Not a fan of Logan Ryan at all. And I hope the Titans receivers just show him the door today.
Well, I think they're going to try and make him a turnstile. That's good. what they're going to try and do.
He was good at turnstile the last year here, but then somebody counters with, well, he intercepted Brady in that last. Look, you could intercept
Brady. He had a good year last year here.
And they moved him in the slot. He didn't really start that much at corner. I mean, he was paying all that money, $10 million for a guy to cover the slot, not doing it that well. Not a fan. All right, moving on, Chaser.
Here's another guy that I'm curious to see if he gets it, if he can take step forwards, and that's running back Keyshawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt. Because he has not really done anything in his first couple years in the league. But, you know, now he's, I think, got an opportunity to potentially be the second running back.
You know, he had a fumble in a playoff game in 2020, and that kind of put him behind there. But Brady has tweeted out a few things about him, about his work ethic and how he's got a bright future ahead of him. So, you know, when Brady's giving you – and, you know, Brady doesn't give a lot of praise to a lot of players, but when he gave praise to Keyshawn early this summer – that was pretty good, but he has an opportunity to go out there and show what he could do, and with Leonard Fournette on that team as well to get things done. Also interesting, I like looking at the coaches on the Buccaneers, and one, their run game coordinator, Casey Rogers, former Tennessee Volunteer football player, is out there too as well. And so there's one more, too, that I saw that Byron Leftwich is offensive coordinator for them.
Larry Foote, remember him as a player? Pittsburgh Steelers?
And Rick Christoffel was a former Vanderbilt coach. He's a senior offensive assistant. Is there. So there's a lot of Nashville and Tennessee connections to this Tampa Bay football team.
Yeah, no doubt. Clyde Christensen, why do I know that name? I feel like I know that name. Quarterbacks coach.
He's been in the league a while. That's probably why. I mean, he worked with Brady. I mean, he's Brady's quarterback coach. We've heard of him.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, it's funny. When we're doing, like, team previews or the Titans are going to play a certain team, I always go look at the coaching staff, too, and I'm always. Like, oh, hey, I know him. Like, I remember him.
Well, here's a guy for you, the kicking specialist for the Buccaneers, Chris Bonio. Remember him?
Yeah.
Cowboys kicker.
Yeah.
So that's by the way, Tampa Bay's got like 44 coaches on the team, and they've got a female assistant, Lori Locust, assistant defensive line coach. So the Buccaneers, they're here on the field taking on the Titans now.
Love that. Very, very cool. Titans did get down to 85 today, yesterday. They officially waived Deontay Burton, Haskell Garrett, Carson Green, Josh Malone, Jordan Wilkins. Little surprised that Josh Malone and even Jordan Wilkins were part of the first cuts.
Not so much me, because that is a crowded wide receiver room. And look, you know, at the end of the day, we love Josh Malone, local kid. He wasn't going to make the team. I mean, been on football for several years. Hopefully gets picked up by another team. Maybe CFL finds him and he continues his football career. But, yeah, he's no longer here.
Yeah, and I think that's probably – that could have been the thought process of go ahead and release him now. Maybe he can go to another camp, get on with another team. Because he – I think he's done okay. It's just like you said. It's such a crowded room that they were – you know, they just had to make that move.
You know what I do like is a few years ago, talking to John Robinson, general manager, about when he had to let a player go.
Yeah.
He talks to every one of them.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of these GMs that you've read throughout the years. It's kind of like, hey, bring your playbook, take care. The head strength coach takes
you. Yeah, he does it.
Get you out of here. But John Robinson, you know, I want to let these guys know that I appreciate their dedication, their commitment, their work ethic coming in here and helping us out. And by releasing them early, I'll have good things to say about them. Maybe they can land on another team.
Yeah, Floyd and Jeff Fisher always did that too. And I always liked that. That, you know, they make it. They said, like, hey, this is a business decision we got to make, but I'm going to look at you man to man and tell you what's going on.
Like the Godfather, man. It's not personal.
Yeah. It's just business. Just business.
That's all it is, man.
The Titans also claimed, and I think we have this clip. I want you to hear this clip from John McClain this morning. The Titans also claimed Lonnie Johnson, defensive back off waivers from Kansas City. Lonnie Johnson had been with the Houston Texans, was a second-round pick. John McClain, longtime sports writer, was on with Robbie and Rex Road earlier today and had glowing remarks about Lonnie Johnson.
Oh, no. Lonnie was a huge disappointment here. Second-round pick. He looked great. 6'2", 215. They got him to be a corner, tried him at safety, moved him back to the corner, and he just never panned out. So they traded him to Kansas City for a seventh-round draft choice based on making the roster, and obviously bombed out there, and they cut him. But I'll say this about Vrabel. He has a lot of success with players the Texans have gotten rid of. And when you look at Lonnie and you see him run and everything, you go, man, this guy's a big-time prospect, but he's not done anything in his career to merit it. Maybe, just maybe, the third time will be a charm.
Huge disappointment. Gotta love that. John McClain, longtime writer for the Houston Chronicle, on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. But, you know, he does make a good point. Vrabel seems to get these reclamation projects and will do something with
sure.
it. What's interesting is they have kind of made some moves at defensive back here in the last, you know, couple weeks.
Right.
We've talked about how young this defensive back group is for the Tennessee Titans, Joe, and trying to bring a veteran in here. It does kind of want, you know, I go back to something D-May said a few weeks ago, that he was kind of concerned about the DBs because of that reason. It is interesting that they're tweaking that a little bit.
It is. Didn't they trade for someone from Vegas last night?
They did. It was a safety, I believe.
Yeah, so there's, you know, you think the secondary.
Tyree Gillespie. Gillespie. Right.
Could be a strong part of this team, but, yeah, they go out and they get another DB, another safety. So, I don't know. Is that telling? Or they just want to get another body in camp, see what it has?
I don't know. I mean, I had, you know, I was looking at the DB group. I mean, they're young, but I wasn't thinking that they were necessarily in trouble. You wonder if there's injuries, you know, that we don't know about, that they're concerned with, and so they want to just bring some bodies in here for the next few weeks. But I haven't seen that trade become official yet, but Tyree Gillespie from the Raiders supposedly coming to Nashville with a trade with the Titans. So we will keep you posted on that one.
There's so much activity. I mean, it's always you look up and there's a, you know, that you're waving two guys, bringing two guys in, one guy leaves. I mean, it's always just nonstop. I mean, it's always bringing guys in. Just you're trying to find the right fit. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd hate to be John Robinson's assistant. I mean, you just imagine, you know, because John's got to watch practice, obviously, and then.
Well, John's probably going to be in practice. I mean, that's what he'll get the pad out and like start hitting guys. Like, it's great.
He's got a great story, John Robinson does, about coming up in the as a coaching ranks, how he was coming back at Southeast Missouri was playing. He was a grad assistant somewhere, and they were playing. I don't know, some like Eastern Kentucky or something. They're coming back, and they stopped at a rest stop on I-24, and he had to make sandwiches for the team. I said, what was that like? He's like, never forget it. It drives you every day to get where you want to be, and so you got to start somewhere.
I think every coach or front, like general manager in the league should be required at some point to do the other, you know, do like some aspect of the other job just so they kind of understand it.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I think did most of them kind of in a certain way come up
yeah.
that way?
Yeah, I mean, but like look at Floyd Reese, for instance. Floyd was a coach for half his career, right. And then he moved into the front office. And so he spoke the language. Like, I look at my position as a program director. I've been a producer and a host still. Yeah. And so, like, I can kind of see things from both of those positions.
You're
so.
A good five-tool utility player.
I
You're
am.
Like Tommy Herr for the Cardinals back in the 80s.
I was an all-star back in 2013.
You can play any position. You can plug you in there and get the job done. So good for you. Yeah, but that's the thing is that, you know, John Robinson, you know, has been there. He's been in the Patriots. He's with the Buccaneers, you know, before he came here to Nashville. And you see the way he had to kind of do that. But, yeah, Floyd was unique in the way that he was the player, coach, spent a lot of time in the league and then became in the front office, and then you have that perspective, which is beneficial in so many ways.
Coming up next, are the Titans starting to get a little more credit? You'll hear another clip from John McClain as we're live at Titans training camp today. A huge show. Elijah Molden is scheduled to join us, former Titans cornerback, now with the NFL Network, Jason McCourty at 11:30. We'll have Jonathan Hutton from Outkick 360 at noon, plus a whole lot more. More coverage coming from training camp next, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Back here, Titans training camp, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Our training camp coverage is presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you here today. And JoJo, you've been watching team drills during the break. What have you seen so far?
Tannehill looks fantastic. I mean, he is like Brady 3 years ago. He's just carving up this team. Good passes, hitting guys in stride. Looks good. Logan Woodside, he's afraid to throw the ball deep. But three passes I've seen him throw, all within 5 yards or close to the line of scrimmage, not taking a shot down the field. But Tannehill had a sweet pass a second ago, but two tight ends got in the same area, and one tipped the ball away from the other one. So Tannehill looking really good today so far. Malik Willis looking not bad. He's got the ball now. Now it's a great
he's with
chance.
The second team, too.
Second team, too. A chance to separate yourself here and see what he does because, it's chaos out here. I mean, you got guys flying left and right, so Willis is back throwing the ball. He's looking. Too long in the pocket. He'd have been sacked. Way too long.
Took way too long. Got to get rid of the ball.
He got to Phillips, but he stood the pocket way too long. And you wonder, what, at one point, do they mess with him? You know, it's like,
yeah,
don't, you know, you got to throw the ball. Don't run. Well, my tendency is to run. And now you stand back there and you make bad decisions. It's like they're trying to teach Vince Young when he was here to be a drop back passer. Well, Vince Young was not a drop back passer.
No.
He was not a – they really never – Norm Chow, at first, had never really tailored the offense to Vince Young. It was just kind of a weird
Norm
thing.
Well, Norm Chow – I mean, Norm Chow was – not a good hire, in my opinion.
Well, he was staying at the hotel over here for 2 years. That's where he stayed.
I know.
All that. So, yeah, those were the days of yore. But Willis, way too long in the pocket. It looks really unsteady back there. So
I know why they don't do it, because you obviously you don't want a guy to get hurt. But if I'm a quarterback and I'm in practice and I see a 300-pound defensive lineman coming at me, like that's gonna help for game-like situations. Like, you don't want to actually hit him. He's got the red jersey on, but –
He
knows he's not going to get hit, so there's no sense of pressure right now. And, you know, this is, what is it, 7-on-7 that they're doing? They don't have the lines out there. So, you know, but you got to create that sense of pressure so he can get used to that in the NFL, especially against a team with a defensive front like Tampa Bay.
3, 4. I held the ball 4 seconds. That ain't going to fly. And I don't know why they're not at 3 seconds saying, all right, get the ball out of your hand. Man, that was 4 seconds. And you're like, well, that's just a second. Look, a second, you watch a guy run a 40-yard dash. I mean, a second is big time in football. He just looks kind of unsure out there. And he overthrew the running back out in the flat. That was not good. But you know what? Here's the deal. Tannehill so far today, my assessment, watching him almost every throw on target.
He has
fantastic.
He has confidence, Joe. Like, there were times last year that I, you know, even watching on TV, watch him in a game, you could tell that he was rattled a little bit, that he didn't have that swagger that he had the year before, you know, even when he took over for Mariota. Now I feel like that some of that swagger is back. And I think as a quarterback, you need a little bit of that cockiness, you know, to play that position. And he's starting to get it.
You know, and the fire burns from the playoff loss, which has been well documented.
Good.
In his reaction afterwards. I mean, and then so coming out and the whole thing about I'm not a mentor, and all this could blow. Look, just do what you do on the field, right? Let's just see what you do on the field. Get the job. Receivers down the field. It looks really good. And that was the first team Tampa Bay defense, which is not bad.
No, not at all. Earlier today, John McClain was on Robbie and Rex Road, and, you know, so many people have talked about the Colts and that this is the Colts division to lose. John McClain had comments on the Titans and where they rank in the pecking order.
The Chargers, because the Texans beat them last year to knock them out of the playoffs. And remember, the Texans almost beat the Titans second time when the Titans won by 3 to clinch AFC home field advantage. But the Chargers are loaded. They spent money to sign Jackson, a great corner. They also traded for Khalil Mack to help bolster their defense. Justin Herbert is the next big thing. The contract that he's going to get after this season, he and maybe Joe Burrow, but especially Herbert, might make Deshaun Watson's look like chicken feet. He might be the first $300 million quarterback. They're loaded on both sides of the ball. Of all the teams that didn't make the playoffs, that's the one I'm most intrigued in. And they play in the toughest division, top to bottom, I've ever seen in my 45 years of covering the NFL.
AFC West and the AFC in general, John McClain talking about, he goes on to basically say that everybody wants to pick the Colts, and everybody wants to say that, oh, this is their division. But the Colts have won the division one time, I believe, since 2014, and that the Titans have just gone back-to-back. And, you know, we've heard from a few people that I think are, you know, very, very smart with their analysis of football and look at, well, hey, I mean, the Titans were just the number one seed. And honestly, like, if you, you know, get up close like we did, they obviously had to work at it because they used 91 players. Tannehill didn't have his best year. Henry was hurt. There was a lot of factors there, and yet they still won the number one seed. Yes, they got beat in the divisional round, but I think people sleeping on the Titans is a bold move, Cotton.
McClain, you know, made a good point. They got Khalil Mack. I mean, teams change so much in the offseason now. They're not keeping the same roster. You're keeping probably 15, 18, 20 guys at times. So it's going to change. The narrative is going to change from the next year. So to compare 2021 to 2022, yeah, that's fun to talk about it. But it's so, I mean, two totally different teams now. I mean, the Titans got more players now that weren't here last year, and the same, but how you build going forward. And I said yesterday, I think I was scoffed at about the Chargers. I mean, that's a fun, exciting, good football team. And I think McClain hits the nail on the head right there. We're 11-on-11, Buccaneers and the Titans, and they ran a sweep. I forget what running back it was, and Tampa Bay barely touched the guy. So I don't know what we're getting out of all this.
Yeah, I'm not sure who it was either. I'm trying to see who this is. Okay, so McMath. McMath is getting a lot of time with the first team.
Yeah, no Derrick Henry, obviously, which is very smart. I know he's out here, but I haven't seen him at all. So if you wonder how Derrick Henry's doing today, he is not practicing. I don't know if he's not practicing, but he could be on the side running or something. But he's not in there with the Titans right now, which is a very smart move.
I haven't seen Junie's been standing here watching. Has anyone seen 15 NWI?
Yeah.
You've seen him out there? Okay.
Yeah. I saw them. They did the one-on-one drills earlier, and that I didn't get much out of that because they were each team was holding on to each other. There was a flag thrown on every play. It was kind of like backyard football. There's no really, semblance of football per se in a game. There's guys just going nuts. All right, Tannehill.
Oh, man, that pass almost got batted down too.
But he got it passed. It was a nice little pass to whoever number 40 is.
He did. That's the
Dontrell Hilliard.
Yeah, running back.
But that wasn't good. I mean, they got Tannehill dropped back, and they were in his face almost immediately.
Cody Hollister's out there with them. I mean, I think he's still in the mix, but probably not going to make it just because of the numbers game.
Who's in that right tackle? I'm trying to see. It's Radence right now? I can't tell.
Let's see. I can't tell. Radence?
Yep, is in the right tackle with the ones. So, interesting. Talk about a right tackle battle at training camp is just something – I don't recall we've ever done that before, at least in the years I covered this team.
Well, at least left guard is pretty much taken care of with Brewer.
Yeah, I'd love to see how Simmons is doing. The guy, that's off sides.
Logan Ryan tried to show blitz there for Tampa Bay.
And what did he do? And who jumped off sides? Was that him? Somebody.
It wasn't him. Okay. I think it was in front of him.
Okay. All right, well, that's kind of what's happening. There's a lot that's going on out here at camp. When you try to.
But I love this. Like, this is
– Yeah.
But seeing Racy McMath getting reps with the first team, I mean, I love that because I think they have, at least what I've seen the last 2.5 weeks, they found a deep threat that they really haven't had in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we watched him earlier just blow by a couple of guys. And he's done that throughout practice, too. He's really made an impact on this football team. And there he is again. Boom, Tannehill.
I love – and that was – who was that, Hooper? Oh, Phillips, Kyle Phillips. Kyle Phillips has also had a nice camp.
Yeah, he has. So we get to do this tomorrow and then see what happens Saturday night. But really good. With the Cardinals coming in next week, kind of the same thing that's happening. And then they're saying, for you know it, Chaser, the Giants are in town, and it's opening weekend for the National Football League.
I know. It's gonna be crazy that it's just a few weeks away. But, I watch this team, and I try and temper my expectations, as I do every year. But I just feel like there is an aura around them, confidence with this team that they maybe you haven't seen, even though they were the number one seed, it just because of all the injuries and just the inconsistent lineup, they just couldn't get in that rhythm last year. I think you're seeing that right now.
Well, look at it's the thing with the Titans attached when they came here in 99. It's the simple lack of respect. And I get it. There were some lean years where they didn't win a playoff game on the road from 03 to 2017. I understand all that. But at the same time, you win the AFC. You're number one seed in the AFC last year. And I know you didn't win the Super Bowl and you lost to the Bengals. But still, I mean, when you get a number one seed, it's not just handed to you, especially when they had 90 players last year to do this. So the lack of respect has always been here. It's always going to be here. And when players come in and they talk about, nobody outside here cares, thinks about us. Which is fine. I mean, once you buy into that, if I'm a head football coach, if I'm Mike Vrabel, I love that. Where nobody believes in us, nobody talks about us, that's fine, man. Let them do what they want because this is a really good football team. And I've said again, if that front three and the front five of the defensive line can dominate the way they did last year, this could be a really, really good football team.
Coming up next, you heard that clip from John McClain where he said that the AFC West was the best division that he has ever seen. I want to know if Big Joe agrees with that, plus more updates from Titans practice as they have team drills with the Bucks right now. Join 102.5 The Game in the 9th Annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. today from noon to 2. Robbie Stanley is going to be out there. The Red Cross is in an emergent need of blood. Every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. Join us, Brentwood Fire and Police, the Williamson County Sheriff's Office, and the Fraternal Order of Police for the 9th Annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive today, going on until 6 o'clock at the Brentwood Concord Road Library. Titans camp 11-on-11's rolling right now here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, Chase Willie, and D-Mace here with you. Who was that?
Devin White for the Buccaneers. He's all over the field. That's a heck of a linebacker.
Well, who's the quarterback?
Tannehill.
Oh, Tannehill. Okay.
Well, yeah. Reception. That happens. I mean, you're throwing all these passes.
Well, look, I mean, he went almost 2 weeks without throwing one, and then he throws his first one, and, you know, that was 2-6 that day. So I look forward to Jared's analysis of that. But, look, this is why you do this, Joe. This is why you go up against a real defense and not your own. I mean, not that your own isn't real, but, like, one you don't know and don't see every day.
I totally agree. I mean, that's you're getting the work in out here today, and that's a lot of fun. And we've seen some guys stand out. Racy McMath blown by guys. Catching the ball deep in the thumb. I mean, when I say blowing by guys, I mean he was 4 to 5 yards ahead of these guys catching the pass. And Tannehill, to me, so far has looked really good early on. So that's where you have it.
Well, I'll tell you this: one of the Titans guys that's in camp at guard just got blown up, but I won't say who. I don't think they'll be here by the end of camp, but. So this is where you kind of really get a look at things as a Woodside in.
Very Woodside earlier was his throws. I mean, he completed them, but there were 3 yard little dump passes to the tight end, and I'm not sure that's what you're looking for.
No, and look, you want to have that as a check down that's available to you, and I think the addition of Austin Hooper is going to make that much better for Ryan Tannehill, but you don't want to have to rely on that every play.
Well, also, you know, the two tight ends, you know, the Patriots did that well with Gronk and Hernandez from 2010 to 13. And yeah. The two tight ends. It really, you know, one single back, two receiver, two tight ends. It really, you got to put some good athletes out there to defend it because you don't want one of your, you know, DBs on that tight end. Then you got two tight ends out there. Then you pull an outside linebacker on him. Well, the tight end's going to beat the outside linebacker. So I like the two tight end approach the Titans have going through camp with the single back. Look, Derrick Henry doesn't need a fullback.
No.
He doesn't.
No, but the fullback is not a fullback. It may be called a fullback, but it's not.
Yeah, they could drop one of the guys, like a Y-check, like that H-back, drop him back in there, make some blocks coming off the ball. But other than that, no.
I mean, would you agree that in the last, let's say, 10 years, the tight end and the fullback have probably evolved more than any other position in the league?
I think they've kind of morphed into each other
for
the most part. I mean, it's hard to name a fullback that stands out in the national. I'm sure there's one or two that stands out, but you can look at him. I mean, would you not rather have a tight end, hybrid fullback, a guy who can sit come
sure.
in and block and go out? So I think that's where the game of football and that part has evolved from that so much. And, you know, it's cyclical. It's, you know, we talked about 2016, how, you know, one running back drafted in the first round, Henry didn't go to the 45th pick, and that was a time where, oh, running backs, the wear and tear, they're good for maybe 3 or 4 years. Well, you know, it evolved to see the running backs now. All right, we need a good running back on this team. That was all something that, you know, we didn't buy into now. Now it's receivers and going back to running backs. So it's all going to keep changing. You just got to fit the personnel to the offense that you want to get out there and run.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So as they've moved in front of us, got to keep our head on a swivel. So you heard John McClain bring up the AFC West, that he thinks it's the best division that he's ever seen. Last year, everybody was obsessed with the NFC West.
Right.
And Seattle, you know, didn't really live up to that. But I look at the AFC West right now, the Raiders, the Chiefs, obviously, the Chargers, and then the Russell Wilson-led Denver Broncos. I think he might be onto something. That's a pretty darn good division.
It is. I mean, it's a really good division. But what do they all have in common?
Quarterbacks.
They've all got good quarterbacks.
How would you rank those quarterbacks 1 through 4 right now?
Mahomes is still the best.
He's still number one.
Yeah, and I think probably, you know, Herbert has got to be up there. I mean, we've only seen 2 years, but what he's done is, I mean, he's really good quarterback. I mean, he's really good understanding the game, delivering the ball, and everything else that goes on. So, I mean, Herbert Carr to me is underrated, but he hasn't really proved himself in the big time.
Carr is very underrated.
Well, when it goes on, of course, we know what Russell Wilson can do. I mean, that's no Super Bowl, two Super Bowls, winning one of those.
I'd probably go Mahomes, Herbert, Wilson, Carr.
Yeah.
Even though I think Carr is very, very underrated.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with any of those quarterbacks. None of them. You can't do that. And that's what they all have got in common. And here's the worst part if you're a Titans fan. You face all four teams this year.
Yep.
Two on the road and two at home, starting with Las Vegas, the third game of the season.
I mean, there's a very good chance. Obviously, when you have a division that is that good, it's going to cannibalize itself to an extent because they got to play each other two times. But there's a very good chance that you could have like a 9 or a 10-win team come out of that division and not make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the teams that do make the playoffs, very, very good. I mean, that's a very good football team that survives. But kind of like the SEC West, right? You're beat up on yourself each and every week. So, like, the Raiders got to play those teams six times. You know, and the Chargers got to play them at six, and so in the division, you got to play those teams six times. So there's almost a 30-year schedule within your own division to take care of that. So it's going to be, you know, you got to win those non-conference games. You go out there. You know, they said, you know, you try to go 500 on the road and 6-2 over the old days, 6-2 at home. You know, that gets you 10 wins right there. You should automatically make the playoffs right there. But you add the extra game, which is good if you're a team that's trying to fight to get in there. But that's a heck of a division. But here's another good thing. If you're a Titans fan, Colts got to face them too. Colts got to face all four of those teams during the regular season. So it's not like, oh, woe is us, but the Colts got to face them too.
I'll tell you this.
Tell me.
You want to we'll make a little money?
I'd love to.
Okay. The worst odds in that division, according to really all the sports books, and I'm looking at DraftKings specifically, the Raiders are plus 650. I would drop a little money on the Raiders.
What's Denver?
To win that division. Denver is plus 260. Chargers are plus 220. Chiefs are the favorite at plus 175.
Wow, so they – see, I don't think the Broncos are that good.
No, they got a lot of holes.
Yeah, the Raiders are much better.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are going to shock some people and win that division.
I can see
that. I think the Chiefs finish second. We'll get a wild card spot. I think the Chargers get a wild card spot.
Mahomes lost one of his targets, and then, you know, get in the red zone, just put eight guys on Kelsey, and Mahomes won't know how to throw the ball in the end zone.
But then he can just walk in.
He can just walk in and get it done, yeah. So losing Tyreek Hill is going to hurt them a little bit. But you said the Raiders win the division?
I say the Raiders win the division.
I kind of like that. You know, I mean, that city loves that football team. So when they play at home, I mean, they got a huge boost playing there. It's loud and it's fun for that team, and it's a good football team. And now they got Josh McDaniels there, hopefully learned from his first stint with the Broncos 10 years ago, and you see what they could do. And so I'm kind of with you on that one.
I'm very curious of Josh McDaniels. I think that, you know, him going back and learning more from Belichick, getting to work with Brady, and then I think it was even more beneficial for him to have a couple of years without Brady. You know, is a safety blanket. I think he's a good coach. I think he made some mistakes, obviously, with Denver first time around. And now we'll see with the Raiders. But, I mean, they picked up Davante Adams, put him back with Derek Carr, obviously college teammates. So I think they're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, they will be. That's interesting. I'm hesitant on, like, is it the greatest division of all time? I'm always hesitant. I mean, there were some really good. I mean, the NFC West was good recently. I'm always hesitant. Like,
yeah, last
the
year
best
for sure.
Division of all time. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. You need to go back through time to figure all that. And so I got the same problem with this. Somebody says, "Well, Tom Brady's the greatest football player of all time." That's false. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, right?
Yeah.
Tom Brady couldn't play Lawrence Taylor's position.
Right.
Lawrence Taylor couldn't play quarterback.
Yeah.
So all too often we get caught in like the top 100 players. I just think that's a bunch of nonsense. It's good for chatterbox on the radio. But, I mean, that's the thing we talk about overall. Give me the positions. Who's the best player? Give me the running back, the wide receiver, on and on. I hate when they kind of blanket, like, the best player of all time. I hate that nonsense.
Okay, so if you took best quarterback of all time, Brady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best receiver of all time, Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Okay, best running back all time.
I got to go with Walter Payton. Yeah, those – I know Jim Brown's right there next to him, but those teams that Payton was on in their mid-70s were awful. And he still got 1,000 yards. They were awful football teams. Until Ditka got there in 81 or 82, turned that around, then Peyton really thrived.
That's a tough one. The running backs are probably maybe the toughest one of the skill positions. Tight ends.
Ditka might actually
be that.
Yeah, Ditka was fantastic. John Mackey, they named the tight end award after him. So he's probably the best of all time. Kellen Winslow for the Chargers.
Yep.
I got to go with him.
Yep.
He was simply fantastic.
I mean, and then some of the guys you see today, even though the position has changed.
Now, you could also love the most dominant football player of all time. This is usually most on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Lawrence Taylor. You know, Lawrence Taylor came out, and by the way, a good trivia question is Bill Parcells did not draft Lawrence Taylor. I think Ray Perkins did that, did not draft Lawrence Taylor. And so he had a good first year, and Parcells came and said, all right, how you progress from year one to year two defines how you'll be. All right, they've got a whole year of tape on you in 81, Lawrence Taylor. How are you going to do? He just worked harder and got better. And I mean, he was so – if you never saw Lawrence Taylor play, I mean, he was so dominating. I mean, they could not stop him.
Have you ever seen the documentary that I think it was Showtime did about 6-7 years ago on him?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It is.
And at the very end of it, he's sitting there, and, like, the guy interviewing him says, you know, how would you describe – you know, the difference between Lawrence and LT. And he said, you know, I'm going to look at my grandkids with all the love in my heart when they ask me, and I'm going to say, LT was a bad mother.
Yeah, I mean,
he was.
a lot of bad problems off the field. But on the field, when he played, he was fantastic. And so, I mean, like safety. Like, Ronnie Gogan's Ronnie Lott. Mel Blunt. I mean, there's just some good ones like that. So, I'm not a fan of the greatest, you know, top 100 players of all time. That's all just for chattering on radio and whatnot.
Up next, whatnot. Joe will name his best defense of all time.
Easy. 85 Bears.
Uh-oh. Junie disagrees with that.
Oh, no. Okay, we'll bring it back.
78 Steelers. That's what I'm going to argue.
Oh, that's tough.
The Steel Curtain?
Mike got me on that one.
I don't know. 85 Bears,
we'll
pretty good.
Ask people the reaction.
Okay. Best defense of all time.
All time. NFL, all time.
Coming up next, 615-737-1025. We're live at Titans training camp, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase William D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin out here at Titans training camp today. And this is one of those things. You put us together, we just go down rabbit holes.
Fine.
Best NFL defense of all time, 615-737-1025. You and I have found some fantastic lists to go off of.
Well, what kind of predicated this was the fact we're talking about how I'm not a fan of the top 100 list because, you know, you can't say Tom Brady's the greatest player of all time when he didn't play defense. I mean, so
sure.
you got specific to positions goes on, but then you can do overall, and that's where we got the best defense here. And I know we get to the text line and the calls in a second here, but the 85 Bears, just the way, here's the thing. You got to win a Super Bowl. Right, you can have a great defense, like the 91 Eagles was a great defense. They didn't win the Super Bowl. So you got to win the Super Bowl. You got to be a champion in that. To me, that qualifies for being the best defense. So I go the 85 Bears just because of the Fridge and Singletary. You know, Ron Rivera was on that foot. Fisher was hurt that year. But
Fisher was like a grad assistant, essentially.
Basically, for Buddy Ryan, correct. And then Steve McMichael and Dan Hampton. I mean, you go Wilbur Marshall. I mean, just go on and on and on with these guys. To me, that always stands out because they were just so dominating, and they had fun while doing it.
Well, and think about this. So Tom from Clarksville on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, the 85 Bears are the greatest to ever do it, only allowing 10 points for an entire playoff run. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, that game against the Rams in the NFC Championship game was – I mean, Eric Dickerson was scared to death. I mean, they were just all – there's like 18 Bears defensive players on the field at one time. And then you go to the Super Bowl, and Richard Dent, I mean, was unbelievable. From Tennessee State was unbelievable. So that team, they put together – and the fact they did not win three or four more Super Bowls, and I'll tell you why, because the next year in 86, the Giants had one of the top defenses of all time with LT, Harry Carson, Jim Burt going on, and George Marshall going on and on and on. Fantastic.
So on this list I'm looking at, number 10 is the 86 Giants.
Oh, okay.
So they have them on here. You mentioned the 91 Eagles. They are, even though they didn't win, they are ninth on the list.
Yeah, Reggie Watt on that team. I think Jerome Brown was still there. I mean, that was Clyde Phillips. Is that right? Defensive end, maybe? I know something. Again, somebody screaming at the radio that didn't happen.
Don't worry, they'll text you and tell
right,
you you're
good.
Wrong in a second. Right. So – my favorite football, like my first ever favorite football player wasn't on my favorite team.
Okay.
Because I was a Cowboys fan. And, like, I loved Emmitt Smith, but my favorite football player was Reggie White. I loved Reggie White.
Yeah.
The Minister of Defense.
Couldn't stop him. One of the greatest things I had in my childhood, which I wish I'd never thrown away, I had a life-size Reggie White poster for the Memphis Showboats.
Yeah.
That I got at a game, which was just the best thing. And then end up losing it, and I was not happy about that. But, I mean, those Eagles teams, why didn't you know the Super Bowl? They were so good on defense, just so good. And, of course, he goes to the Packers and 93 ends up winning a Super Bowl in 96 with the Packers.
Yep. So this is from Athlon Sports. They have the 86 Giants, number 9, the 91 Eagles, number 8, the 2008 Pittsburgh Steelers.
They were really good. They were really good run defense, and they were either 1 or 2 in run and pass defense that year when they won the Super Bowl in 08.
Yeah, won a Super Bowl. That qualifies.
James Harrison with the 99-yard interception return that might have put him in the ER.
He was a defensive player of the year that year as well.
He was.
Nobody was going to stop him on that run in the Super Bowl.
Number 7, the 72 Miami Dolphins, the no-name defense.
Yeah, that's the year they went undefeated.
Yeah.
Again, you got the only qualifier that you got to win a Super Bowl.
The 62 Green Bay Packers.
Well,
Vince
they
Lombardi.
Were before the Super Bowl, but that was an amazing football team and one hell of a defense.
02 Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl. I'd agree with that.
Sapp and Brooks and John Lynch.
Yep.
Derek Brooks, linebacker. That was a heck of a team.
Number 4, the Legion of Boom, 2013 Seattle Seahawks.
It's hard to argue. They're good. They're really good.
Especially with the way they played Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl and that
high-octane
Denver offense in 2013.
Like, I remember watching that game and going
– from the get-go.
Like, what – Peyton comes back, has his best statistical season of his career, and just gets absolutely destroyed in the Super Bowl.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, the snap over his head, they can never recover after that.
Number 3, now you said the 78 Steelers, Junie. They have the 76 Steel Curtain.
And statistically, it might have been a better defense that year, but kind of going off what Joe had said, you got to win a championship. And I think the 78 team with that championship when they beat the Cowboys in Super Bowl 13, I believe that defense was more stacked and actually led them to a championship. 6 Hall of Famers on that defense.
What's the difference between 76 and 78, player-wise?
A couple years.
I feel like it's the same players on there.
It's just the only difference is they won a championship in 78. There was a two-year span between they won in 74 and 75,
right.
76 and 77 they didn't, and then they went back and won in 78 and 79. It was basically the same exact defense, just a few different players implemented in there.
Right. I watched a Joe Green documentary just last weekend on NFL Network, and just to see those teams, those players, and that draft, how it all come together, I'm not sure Junior will ever see that again, that kind of draft, that kind of impact, that kind of defense, that kind of players.
Well, they had 4 Hall of Famers in the 74 draft, which is just absolutely ridiculous. I don't think there'll ever be a team that has 4 Hall of Famers in a draft class again. But
that's amazing.
I'm surprised we haven't brought this team up yet, talking about the Titans, because they remember them quite well. The 2000 Baltimore Ravens, led by Ray Lewis. Eddie George still has nightmares about that game.
Ray Lewis ripped that ball away from him. That was that football team was so dominant on defense, he almost didn't need an offense.
No, and that was the thing. Like, no offense to Trent Dilfer, but he was the quarterback.
I think you probably would agree.
Of that team, and the defense is what won the Super Bowl, but was still, like, number one, if you want to see something funny, get Derek to watch the film of that game, because he still gets mad. But I look at that as the Titans were a better overall team. They just got beat by a really, 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 really good defense.
Yeah, and it's also, I remember that game vividly. I mean, in January of 2001, and the Ravens had beaten Miami on the road, I think. Is that correct? No, it's not.
Yeah.
That's wrong. That was 2008. They beat Miami a week before on the road. But they came in here, and, you know, the offense wasn't that great. Like, all right, Titans. Because the 2000 Titans team might be the best Titans.
That's what I was going to say.
Of all time.
I think that's the best roster they've ever had.
Yeah. They were solid. And Baltimore came here and beat him, and they in the next year they went 7-9 was terrible.
Yeah,
but
that
2000 Ravens defense, that's a top 5, and they finished it by what, winning a Super Bowl.
What was funny is, like, I was when I went to Floyd's visitation a few weeks ago, looking at in his office, he had all the teams, like all the team posters and everything, and everybody had signed it, and I was looking at that 2000 team. I mean, top to bottom, just a great football team. That you wish, just, you know, you take a couple plays back, and they probably win the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that, you know, Derek talks about it, but that was D. Mace's breakout year because Yancey Thigpen, you know, gets hurt. So Derek, you know, really starts to come into his own. Obviously had Kevin Dyson, who got hurt that year too. But Dyson, Wycheck, Eddie George, McNair, plus the defense. That was Bullock's rookie year, Curse in his second year. just a tremendous football team. So
yeah, you know, I'm Junior's talking about the Steelers team. I'm going on this, you know, Bears team of 85, the defense, and just seeing how, like, Steve McMichael was 28 years old. Richard Dent was 25.
Stephen Mongo McMichael?
Yeah, exactly.
Now became Dan a wrestler.
Dan Hampton was 28. I mean, it's just sometimes it just comes, you know, and that's when the fridge that year in 85 just took over. He became the pop culture icon, scoring the touchdowns. And you still hope that Walter Payton would have scored that touchdown in the Super Bowl. And I think Ditka regrets that to this day. And, you know, because they get fridge score.
Yeah.
And then there's a, you know, Payton was a true professional afterwards. You know, he said he would like to score, but so happy that the team had won the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl win for the Bears.
But that was like one of the first times that you would see a defensive end get put in at fullback. You know, with they kind of made that known with the fridge.
Yeah, and I remember the Monday night game against the Packers. They put him in and he scored, and people went crazy.
Yeah.
Because he just bowled over everybody doing that part of that. I mean, he was 6'1", 350 pounds. I'm not going to stop him.
Somebody says the has to have won a championship requirement for the greatest defense is ridiculous.
Nope. That's how you get the elites, how you get the greatness up there. You have a really good defense and not finish the job? No.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. Speaking of elite,
you better.
Screwball peanut butter whiskey is elite.
It is.
Because it is my go-to when I'm out and about with my friends. I love to take it as a shot, chilled, but you can have it on the rocks. You can have it as a peanut butter old-fashioned. Also, a PB&J shot with a berry liqueur, an espresso martini. I know that's what Junie likes. It is fantastic. Ask for it by name, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It goes down smooth. It's made with real peanuts, real peanut butter, and, of course, real whiskey, all natural. And it's an original, just like me, the suit. It's the most awarded peanut butter whiskey in the world. So when you're out and about with your friends, do like I do. Ask for a Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey and enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.